Welcome to The Inner Room, a space where we ponder the inner movements of our heart to find God by finding examples and instructions in daily scripture readings. The emotions in our hearts can help us or hinder us in our spiritual journey. Open your heart, explore your emotions, and align thoughts and emotions with God's plans for you. When we learn to feel and align our emotions, we advance in our prayer life by loving more deeply, remaining in peace more often, and finding courage for the journey of life. My name is Sofia Fonseca de Niño, and a big shout out to my son Marco Niño, producer of this podcast. Sit back or walk with us. You are most welcome here. Let us pay attention today to how the Lord is going to use people in our life to bring us to conversion, to bring us to His kingdom. And sometimes it's going to be the most unlikely person, somebody that even may appear as an enemy, and how we might receive word from the Lord in a way that is very familiar, and we may be casting that person out of our lives. We have this story in the Gospel of Luke 4, of Jesus coming to the synagogue of Nazareth, and he's not received. In fact, he's almost thrown off a cliff. And then we have the story on 2 Kings of Naaman, an army commander that brings great glory to the king of Aram, which is a region above the kingdom of Israel in Syria. And he brings great glory to the king, but he has leprosy. And how the Lord will weave this story of several characters to bring physical and spiritual healing to somebody that is outside of the realm of the kingdom of God, because he's not in the kingdom of Israel. So even in the story of the Old Testament, we see God healing people that are outside for his glory and to let us know that he has come in the most unexpected ways to bring salvation to us and to the earth through those that are around us that may be very unlikely characters. So let's look at the details of this story on 2 Kings chapter 5. Naaman is an army commander, and the scripture tells us that he has brought victory to the king and that the Lord has worked through him. So we see something already in the disposition of Naaman that God Almighty can use. That detail is important because there may be somebody around you at work, in your family, in your friend group, that you think, oh my goodness, that person is outside of the family, outside of my workplace, outside of my realm that I consider the Lord speaks to me through them, or in a way, so far away from what you would recognize as speaking for the Lord that you might discount it. But today, the Old Testament reading tells us that God was working in the victories through Naaman already. He's so brave, but he has a disease, a leprosy. And now look how salvation comes to him through a little girl that had been captured in the fights between this kingdom that had been fighting with Israel. So they have captured a little girl who is a servant to Naaman's wife. Look also at the disposition of this girl, that from that place, she is speaking about the prophet Elisha. She's in captivity. She's far away from her land, but the Lord has done such incredible things in this little girl's heart and mind that from her captivity, she is going to bring salvation and the unleashing of an incredible story because she's able to speak the word of God in a difficult place. She's able to speak about God's promises, God's ways, God's interventions. Are you and I able to do that, to look at the history that we are experiencing in this moment with the same eyes as this little girl, that whatever is keeping us captive, maybe we don't have the job we want, maybe we're in a scuffle with somebody in our family, and that keeps us so distracted. And yet there's somebody in our midst, just like Naaman, that is looking for salvation. So this little girl says, if only my master could present himself to the prophet in Samaria. And she says this to the wife. So imagine how information for salvation sometimes has to travel in the most unexpected ways. So do not think that if you are speaking to someone about salvation, that that information may not reach 2 or 3 levels, 6 degrees of separation, because the word of God, Isaiah 55 tells us, never comes out void, but goes and returns with the purpose for which it was intended. And friends, sometimes it may be in the way that we do not expect, or we may not even know it while we are alive. But we know through these stories, because God lets us see it, that a servant that was captured in war speaks to a wife that speaks to the commander. And look what unleashes after that. Naaman goes and tells his lord and king that the slave girl from the land of Israel had told him, go. What power did these words have that a little girl is sending an army commander to the king? And now the king is saying, I am going to send a letter to the king of Israel. Out of the words of a little girl, two kings are speaking, friends. Do not underestimate that you are a daughter and a son of the King Most High. And because of that, your words may reach the kings of the earth, because we serve a king that is so much higher than that. So a letter now is going to go along with 10 silver talents, with money, and 6,000 gold pieces, and 10 festal garments. Imagine the treasure that is coming through, because a little girl says that there is a prophet in Samaria that can heal this army commander. And they're sending them back to the very same place where they were fighting. This is not something that you could imagine is easy. So if there's a fight in your home between two people, two dear people that are not speaking to each other, or that have fought at work or in school, at the university, in your high school, wherever it is that you are listening to this, in the politics of your city or your state or your country, let us look with the eyes of somebody that knows how to see God. That with this letter, Naaman is being sent, says the king, so that you may be cured of leprosy. So the words of the girl have caused the king to think this is possible, and a treasure is being sent. So when he read the letter, the king of Israel tears his garments and says, do I have the power to do this? Who am I that can actually cure somebody? You can see that he's looking for a quarrel. But the news of this event, that you imagine a whole crowd must have gathered when Naaman shows up, and he had an entourage. And he arrives to the king. And now we jump to the verse where Elisha, the man of God, hears that the king of Israel has torn his garments. And even though it just says it there, you imagine that that information had to get to him where he was. And now he sends word to the king, why have you torn your garments? Let him come before me and find out that there is a prophet in Israel. The information, friends, moves through army commanders, through kings, and now reaches the prophet that God is going to use to cause this to happen. But you may be that little girl in the story, or you might be one of the kings in the story. The information is going to ricochet in many ways, like a little pinball, until it arrives where it needs to go. So let us be people of faith and hope that our prayers and petitions have a path, because the word of God is alive. So Naaman then comes with horses and chariots. Can you imagine the vision of this? That he's moving around with horses and chariots, that other people, as they had imagined before, these were the people that had taken that little girl as a slave, that had come to fight against these people. But now he's stopping at the door of Elisha's house, The prophet comes out and says, go and wash 7 times in the Jordan. What does that mean, right? He's giving him something to do, but Naaman is angry. He's made all of his effort out of hearing the little girl, and now he's come to the door and he's told to go wash. And his feelings are anger. Because many times when we hear what God is intending for our salvation or our healing, we go, why? Why this? Why from this person? We can have anger pop up in our hearts. And he says, I thought he would surely come out and stand here and invoke the Lord, his God, and would move his hand over the spot and cure the leprosy. Naaman has to be cured of his expectations for how the Lord acts, and has to develop humility in his heart, and has to fight against that anger in his heart. Because when we have angry hearts, we cannot receive the healing of the Lord. And what he says is, are not the rivers of Damascus or these other rivers, the Abana and the Pharpar, better than the waters of Israel? In fact, they've defeated the land. He has to let go of his understanding, his way of seeing what the world is offering, that these waters of the River Jordan are touched by heaven, and that it is in the command that he's being given as an army officer, that getting on his knees, receiving the word of the prophet, are very important positionings of his heart away from anger and towards humility. So he turns in anger again. We're told twice. He leaves. He's being given what to do, but he leaves, friends. And who are now the messengers in this wonderful story of communication? The servants are now the ones who come and counsel him. They're the ones who reason with him. And they say, Father, if the prophet has told you to do something extraordinary, would you not have done it? If he had given you something really bizarre to do, that you would have thought, oh my goodness, the Lord works in these incredibly extraordinary ways. The more now, since all he said to you is, wash and be clean. Friends, the Lord speaks to us in simple words and in whispers. And he speaks to us many times in the most unexpected ways. So if there's a fight in your family, if there's silence between people, if there's fights, if there are fights, friends, the Lord may be saying, wash and be clean. So it is through the servant's counsel that Naaman's heart is turned and he goes down and plunges into the Jordan 7 times. So picture that scene, friends, chariots and horses and treasure, and this man plunging into the river of their enemies at the word of the man of God. And as he does this, his flesh becomes like the flesh of a little child, and he is clean. And he returns with his whole retinue. You imagine this, friends, to the man of God, stands before him with his heart and his skin transformed to say, now I know that there is no God in all the earth except in Israel. Friends, we sing with Psalm 42, a thirst is my soul for the living God. When shall I go and behold the face of God? Friends, we are athirst for this cleansing in our life, that even if we are not seeing how the words we're speaking are reaching the very people that need this cleansing, that we are praying that they also become like Naaman, athirst for the living God, with a longing. And we place in our mind, Father God, these people that have gone astray from you, Father. And we ask that a thirst may be their souls for you who are the living God, that they will come to the Eucharist, Father, that they will have servants and slaves, whoever they are in their life, people that might be enslaved to all kinds of things, all kinds of sins, in ways that they may be addicted, that they are the ones that may speak the word, Father, that will send us forth to your presence, that we will be brought to your holy mountain and your dwelling place, that we may go to your altar with gladness and joy to give you thanks already for the work that you are doing in these people that we see returning to you, Father. Because Jesus going to the synagogue in Nazareth says no prophet is accepted in his own native land. And sometimes, friends, it may not be you that turns around that brother, that sister, that friend, that counselor, but it may be through a ricochet of people speaking the word of God in ways that you do not know. And Jesus himself is saying that Naaman was chosen, even though there were many lepers in Israel at that time of Elisha, the prophet, and he was the one cleansed, and that God will pick in ways that we do not understand. So he has to pass through the midst of these people that are trying to throw him away. Sometimes we cannot engage. The Lord is letting us know. Sometimes we simply have to pass through. We have to avoid the conflict, pass through, and know that the Lord will deliver us and deliver those in our life. So let us go to the throne. Father Almighty, we give you thanks for the stories of the Bible, for the siblings in the faith, for those heroes, saints, and champions of old that give us the paths of life, Father, that give us hope, that give us the trust that you are a kind God, and that in you there is plentiful redemption, and that even though we do not see it, you're using the words that are spoken through us to others and over us from others, Father, that we are a body of Christ. We ask that the precious blood of Jesus come upon us to save us and to gather us in your presence so that we may live in a holier way, working towards virtue and away from vice. And we ask this in the name of Jesus the Lord. Amen.